on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hour number two of the Hurricane Hotline. Welcome back to the show. Thanks to Coach Banda, Patke, and Simpson for joining us in hour number one. Now we jump into basketball. Hurricanes will be back on the floor Wednesday night at the Watsco Center, 7 o'clock against Houston Baptist, and then on Saturday afternoon against FAU. So back on the floor, Coach Larrañaga is with us now. Good evening, Coach L. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. It's been a couple of weeks since we played last.
Yeah, I know. You've had a lot of recruiting and, I guess, practice sessions. Back out on the floor now. You got a game coming up on Wednesday, but have you balanced it between recruiting and practice?
Yeah, the staff has been very, very busy traveling a good bit, checking out players who will be available maybe this spring, and hopefully we can get ourselves involved with and recruit a couple of them, but also looking at the junior class, looking down the road, and hopefully get some of those kids interested. We have had some very good practices. The guys, I think, are in good spirits and working hard. We're just so darn short-handed, Joe. We had Dewan Ewell Hernandez. Dewan practiced with the white team this week, trying to get him ready in case we get the word from the NCAA that he's eligible again. So it would be a big boost to our morale and to our offense and defense if we could get Dewan back playing.
Yep, so far no word on that. Without him and in practice, I guess you go forward believing you got to play without him until further notice. Have you done anything different, or do you just keep going back to work on fundamentals and the things that the identity that you're trying to create with the players that you have?
Well, In one of our previous seasons, we were caught shorthanded. And here's the simple reason why. We had five seniors, and we could plan to recruit players to replace them. But we had no idea that Shane Larkin was going to turn pro. I don't think anyone prior to the year thought Shane would be ready. But Shane had himself a sensational season. We won the ACC championship. He was ACC Player of the Year. He was a second-team All-American. And the word got out that he was going to be considered a first-round draft choice. And then Shane declared for the draft, was selected 18th in the first round, and went to the NBA. So we really were without a point guard with any kind of experience. And we ended up bringing a freshman, Manu LeConte, to play the point. And, of course, when you're shorthanded and you're playing a young player at the point, it was very, very challenging. We're kind of in that position now, not at the point guard position because we have Chris Likes. We also have Zach Johnson. But it's in our front court now. Without Dewan, without Dan Gak, who's hurt, without Rodney Miller, who's redshirting, we're really caught shorthanded up front. And we don't really have a sub for Abuka Zundu or Sam Wardenburg, or even, for that matter, an Anthony Lawrence.
Yeah, and since we last talked, Dan Gak has been ruled out for the year because of an injury. So I guess under the present circumstances, I don't know if that leads you to, play small, or if you can play any smaller, and spreading the floor as much as you, I guess, and you've already been doing that quite a bit.
Well, The simple question is, what do we do when we have to substitute? And the answer is, we're probably going to have to change defenses to protect our bigs because we just don't have any big man subs. And with that in mind, we're going to play a little bit more zone. We're going to change up the defenses pretty regularly. And we're even going to do some trapping. So it's something we didn't plan on doing in September and October. So it's really only in the last few weeks that we've started to work on it. We're getting a little better at it, but I think it's going to take us a while to really be able to execute an entirely different offensive and defensive game plan.
I always find defense interesting in basketball, in that if you're going to be switching defenses, as you've indicated, and teams do it, how long do you stay with one defense? Can a team talk you out of it? Can they shoot you out of it? How long do you want to do you stay with a particular defense during the course of a game? What goes into the thought process of deciding to stay with it or get out of it or do something different?
Well, there are a lot of different circumstances that can impact that decision. One of which is foul trouble. I was watching the Rhode Island West Virginia game yesterday, Joe, and both teams had four guys in foul trouble in the first half, and both teams ended up with players fouling out. And both teams are deep enough that they could still stick with their strategy. West Virginia was still pressing, and Rhode Island was still playing pressure man-to-man. But they ended up with a lot of players in foul trouble and needed to rely on their bench. For us, we just can't afford foul trouble. So that's why we would probably change the defense when it looks like the matchup of, let's say, a Buka Zundu gets in foul trouble. Well, we got to change the defense. If Abuka Zundu's just out of the game to rest, even if he's not in foul trouble, we got to probably change the defense. And throughout the game, we're going to be making those decisions.
Yeah, I was watching the Heat last night, and Eric Spoelstra's gone to I've watched him the last couple of nights. They've gone to a 2-3 zone.
Yeah, Eric is good friends with my associate head coach, Chris Caputo. And Chris was talking to Eric, and he said they need to change up some things and force the opponent to react to them. And right now, what we're looking to do is try to force a team to slow down a little bit. Like our team, our opponent on Wednesday night is Houston Baptist. They're top 35 in the country in tempo, meaning they play very, very fast. And if we get up and down the floor with them and just, you know, run and gun, then their depth can really impact the game. And our depth would be really tested. So we have to figure out a way to actually slow them down a little bit. And we're working on that right now. I thought practice really went well today, and hopefully we can play well on Wednesday.
We talked about this a little bit last week, and maybe you've had to go further down the road on this, but going back to that team the year after Shane left and Manu came in, that was also a year where you slowed it down on offense, slowed down the possessions on offense, which I think probably also helped you on the other end of the floor. Would you has that entered your thinking at all this year, considering where you are right now?
Yeah, it's really complicated, Joe. And for those people who follow us, if I asked you, is Chris Likes better off in an up-tempo game? He's our leading scorer, averaging about 18 points a game.
Right.
Or is he better off in a slowed-down half-court offensive game? Up-tempo or slowdown?
Well, he likes to go fast.
Yeah.
He likes to go real fast.
The slower we go, the less of a factor he is. So it impacts us offensively if we're not able to run. And that's probably true of DJ Vasilevich too, because most of DJ's threes come off of Chris penetrating and creating havoc. So the complication is, how do we find a defense that complements our offense? And right now, the only thing that would complement it is to get DeJuan back, because that adds more size, more defense, more shot blocking, more rebounding, and all of those things create the fast breaks. And then you can play a little bit bigger and rotate Buka Zundu, DeJuan, and Sam Wardenburg. And now you've got three bigger guys who can rebound and defend, and you're not going to end up having to play so small with Buka out, no big guy to replace him.
I was watching this NFL game last night, and they remarked that this one particular team had a ton of injuries, and they said, well, you know, such and such coach, he's really diving into it this year because he's really taking on this challenge of coaching around all these injuries, which a lot of coaches sometimes enjoy. I'm not so sure that's always the case. I know you like going to the idea factory, but I don't know how many more ideas you can come up with.
Well, Dengek is having surgery, so we know he's not going to be available the rest of the season. So he's going to be a red shirt. So that reduces one of our options. Deng was doing a nice job, playing about 14 minutes a game, blocking some shots, getting some rebounds, getting an occasional offensive rebound bucket or a dunk. But when he's no longer an option, then we don't have that shot blocking there. We don't have that secondary rebounder in there. So when I asked our coaches the other day, if we take Buka out, who subs for him? The natural answer would be, a tendency would be to say, well, Sam goes for him.
Right.
But Sam's already in the game. So it's not like you're subbing. You're bringing a guard in, like a Zach Johnson who's 6'2", for a guy who's 6'9 or 6'10". We are already shorthanded up front. We take Buka out. We become smaller, slower, no interior scoring threat as a back-to-the-basket player. So it just is a challenge for my staff and I to figure out how do we adjust to all the different circumstances we're going to be dealing with. And I think we're doing a good job of discussing it, but the answers are not there. It's not like, okay, we just go zone. Well, but that zone is very small if you take Buka out. We press. Well, if we press, what about foul trouble? Because that's what West Virginia and Rhode Island found out. You can press. You get in foul trouble, you got to be able to go to your bench, and we don't have any bench. We only have seven players, so, and only two of them are front court players. Buka's been doing Sam Wartenberg. Yeah. So we're very, very shorthanded right now.
In addition to all of those things, this always gets me to the point of, even if you have full complement, as much as you drill players, as much as you do everything you possibly do, once that ball goes up in the air, sometimes there's not a lot you can do, right?
Well, here's the thing. If you ask me right now, we're 5-4, and I think we should be undefeated. I think we should be 9-0. And I say that just because of the opportunities we've had in the games itself. No, we've missed a couple of key wide-open shots that would have either won the game or at least put us ahead with just a possession or two left in the game. And I know our players feel that frustration, too, of knowing how close we've been, but we've come out on the short end. Last year, we went 8-2 in games decided by 5 points or less, Joe. But Lonnie Walker or Bruce Brown would make a game-winning defensive play or shot. This year, we just haven't made that shot. We've had chances, good chances. In fact, the coach is looking at the tape and said, man, we can't get a better shot than that. Mm-hmm. And the ball doesn't go in. And any coach will tell you, you look a lot better when the shot is falling than when it's missing.
By the way, real fast, I guess it was the other night, and all these days are starting to run together. Penn, they got Villanova at the Palestra the other night. First time that Villanova's lost a Big Five game in like 35 in a row or something like that.
Yeah. Obviously, Villanova is going through some of those growing pains. They won the national championship last year. They lost the player of the year in Brunson. They lost Mikhail Bridges, a first-round draft pick. And then surprisingly, they lost the kid who signed with Milwaukee. I can't think of his name right now. DiVincenzo.
Right. Yeah, he got hot in the tournament.
Yeah. So it's hard to replace DiVincenzo. You might be able to replace Brunson because you knew he was going to go pro. You knew Mikal Bridges was going pro, but you didn't know DiVincenzo. So you lose a lot of that scoring, and you don't have a veteran player to step up and take the place. Do you know who is basically taking Mikal Bridges' spot for them?
No.
So last year on September 24th, we got a verbal commitment from Sadiq Bey. He was going to be a Miami Hurricane and a great fit to replace Bruce Brown or Lonnie Walker. Instead, the FBI investigation occurs. He tells me, there's just so much uncertainty. So he reneges on his verbal commitment and ends up signing with Villanova and now is not starting for them but playing about 30 minutes a game for them, playing great. And but they're still young at that spot, and they've lost a couple of tough games, Villanova. Mm-hmm. They lost to Furman. They lost to Kansas. They lost to Penn. So we're kind of in that same boat, except we don't have Sadiq Bey. I would love to have him because he would have fit in perfectly with what we were missing.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Wednesday's game and then Saturday's game. Got a couple more non-conference games to go before conference season opens up on January 3rd against North Carolina State. We'll do that with University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. We'll continue right after this.
This is Hurricane Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, with University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. On Wednesday, it is Houston Baptist coming to town. And, Coach, they've already played Arizona, Wisconsin, and Wake Forest, so they're not going to be bashful. In fact, they beat Wake Forest 93-91.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier in the show, Joe. They're an up-tempo team against Wake Forest. They got off to a slow start, but that game was at Wake Forest. They fell behind by like 15 points and came roaring back in the second half, put it into overtime. They were down 7 with under a minute to go in the game and ended up tying it up, putting it into overtime and winning in overtime. They've got a terrific big man, a kid named Hart, who reminds me of Krutwick. You remember Krutwick?
Yes, from Loyola. He had a crafty game.
This young man has the same kind of game, number 15, Hart. He's got a little left-hand jump hook, a right-hand jump hook, very good up and under move. He's a handful for us inside. Plus, he gets fouled, so we got to worry about Abuka Zundu, guarding him and staying out of foul trouble. They also have a guard, number 22, Gates, whose dad is one of the gentlemen. Do you remember the story Hoop Dreams and the movie that was made?
Sure.
Well, his dad was who the story was about.
How about that? Jalen Gates.
One of the other players is I think Barry Bonds' nephew, the great baseball player for the San Francisco Giants.
Right, number 30, Braxton Bonds.
Braxton Bonds. So they have some very talented guys. Their best player, their leading scorer is a kid named Du Bois, and he is about 6'4", 5", 220 pounds, very strong, very crafty. And he's a guard, but plays very, very big.
18 points a game. He's shooting like 60% from three-point range. And it's not like he's taken 5 three-pointers. He's taken over 25 three-pointers.
No, he's a very good all-around player. and we've got to really worry about him, you know, because Anthony Lawrence is probably going to be matched up with him to begin the game. And without Amp, we really don't have another good matchup for him. The next best would be probably Zach Johnson, but Zach Johnson's a couple of inches shorter, and hopefully he'll play big on Wednesday.
They're averaging, you mentioned that the up-tempo, averaging almost 80 points a game.
Yeah, they run and shoot. In fact, one of the things our coaches have emphasized in our scouting report, in talking to the players today and the way we practice today, is their fast break offense is sometimes even better after the opponent scores. So they have to take the ball out of bounds. They rifle it into their point guard, race up the court, get into a very quick ball screen, and try to score very, very quickly.
Speaking of your players, and we didn't talk about them coming through the exam period, but they've got to be excited to get back into games and basketball and getting back to playing, right?
Yeah, the exam period ended, we've had a chance. Well, we had good practices on Friday and Saturday, took off Sunday, and then practice today. We'll practice tomorrow leading up to the game on Wednesday night. And I think this is actually the best time of the year for you to get work done, because there's no classes. The guys can really just focus on the basketball. They can come in and get extra shooting on their own. They can get well-rested because they're not getting up so early. We're not lifting in prior to classes at 6 a.m. So it's a really good time of the year to make some strides. We have 3 non-conference games remaining. I got my fingers crossed, Joe, if we could somehow win Wednesday night and then really prepare well for a really, really good, maybe the best Florida Atlantic team in a long time. And they're playing very, very well right now.
Yeah, that's a 2 o'clock game on Saturday. That'll be another good challenge for your team.
It really would. And this is a big week for us. Having lost 4 in a row, we need to bounce back. I think the players are bound and determined to do it. But as I said earlier, we got to make shots. You can't play as hard as we're playing, play well, but then the ball just doesn't go in.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the free throw line, there's not even defense, and you miss the free throw. It's certainly not a lack of effort or concentration. It just sometimes the free throw doesn't go in, and you don't shoot 100% from the foul line. I watched the Boston Celtics play the other night, and they did shoot 100%. They were 25 for 25. But the game before that, Kyrie Irving, one of the best free throw shooters in the NBA, he missed 2 in a row right down the stretch. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Thank goodness it didn't cost him the game. But that's the way basketball is. If you make the shot, you get the points, and you look good. But you miss, whether it's an open 3 or a free throw or a layup, you don't get any points for misses.
Hey, did you see the Heat had a 4-2 West Coast road trip, finished strong last night. Nice win over New Orleans. Down the stretch, Dwayne Wade came up with a couple of big plays.
Yeah, we followed the Heat, but at this time of the year, we're so focused on our own team. You're going to see some different defenses and different looks on Wednesday night, Joe. I'm not even talking about them because I don't want to give Houston Baptist a heads up so that they work on these things.
All right, very good. All right, I understand. We'll talk about them on Wednesday before the game. All right, thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. Let's see. This is, I think, our last show of 2018. But then in the new year, we start up the full hour with you from 6 to 7.
Okay. All right. Well, if this is the last show, I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, a happy holiday season, and a very, very happy new year. We'll talk to you in 2019.
All right, and I'll see you on Wednesday in your office.
All right, Joe.
All right. Thank you, Coach. That's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. When we come back, Katie Meyer will be joining us here on the Hurricane Hotline. And don't forget, Larry Bluestein is coming up as well with the South Florida High School football show, and he's going to have one of the Hurricane verbal commitments. A wide receiver, Peyton, Jeremiah Peyton, right, who is all in from Jacksonville and is going to be a real boost, really boost to the Hurricanes offense. The first guy to commit. And Blue has a great article out there on Twitter about the word commitment. And Peyton has stayed with his commitment, understands what the word means, and you'll hear all about him coming up here at 8 o'clock. When we come back, Katie Meyer joins us.
Radio.com. Radio.com. This is Hurricane Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, back on the show, and now joined by University of Miami women's head coach Katie Meyer, coming off another impressive victory yesterday against Maryland Eastern Shore. Coach, good evening. How are you?
Hey, Joe. I'm great. How are you?
Very good. I liked all the ugly sweaters yesterday.
I tried to be the ugliest. Did I win?
No, I thought it was pretty sharp. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a oxymoron.
Llama didn't win?
Yeah, well, to call them ugly, but they're all nice.
Well, I was wearing a llama with a trucker hat on and sunglasses. I think I should have won.
Well, you're the head coach. Obviously, you win.
Okay.
As did your team yesterday. What did you think of the performance yesterday?
You know what? I gave them a really hard time afterwards because I thought that it was a time like finals are over and they've had a lot of pressure on them, and I just begged them to play with joy and play with passion and just spill their emotions out on the court, and they still were a little flat. I mean, it happens every coach in America around December 15th, 16th, they feel the same way. But I tried to dial them up. We played well. I mean, Maryland Eastern Shore is a really tough team to play against, but I just thought we could have done a lot better. But, you know, we'll take the win.
You did not start Beatrice. Coach's decision. She played the second half and got a one-half double-double.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So Beatrice is, in the meeting today, we did a little film in small groups, and I said, B, you're going to be surprised, but I'm going to tell you how proud I am of you, because didn't start just in a moment in practice where it's like, okay, well, these five players are going to start if you do this, and they did, so they earned it. It wasn't anything dramatic. Beatrice is our leading scorer, leading rebounder. I mean, I don't have any problems with Beatrice, but it was just one of those deals where you're practicing for a week and you got to have gimmicks and get people fired up and get them playing harder. And B just didn't win that drill, so that was easy. But when she came in, you know, her first half was just not typical of Beatrice, and I was a little disappointed. But in the second half, she battled. I mean, it was a different level of Beatrice, and she really cared about her teammates, and she shared the ball, and she fought hard, and I think we might have gotten a lot out of that little accidental experiment, actually.
The University of Miami occasionally or periodically has different events, Cane Talks. You gave a speech, I guess it was the other night. Can you hit on one of your main points? You talked a little bit about how we should be handling kids today.
Wow, yeah. You know, that was I'm blessed and honored anytime anyone asks me to speak, but I kind of had to sort of summarize all of my thoughts in one of those Cane Talks. And my biggest thing is the fake confidence that's just rampant in society today. Like, you know, people, you know, if you're a teacher and you say, I want a 10-page paper, I want it single space, I want an introduction, I want a, you know, thesis statement, I want a conclusion, and I need it to be, whatever, in by Monday. If you meet all of those requirements, I believe that's a C. But if the young kids in society, including my players and everybody, if they meet all those requirements, they think that's an A. And that was my speech. It's just like irrational confidence. Like, everybody's supposed to do that. And if everybody does it, then that's average. And if you're, you know, an average is fine, but don't expect an A. Average is C. Fail is F, A is exceptional, and C is average. And we're in a society today where everybody needs confidence, but they want you to give them confidence first. And I just feel like you should do something for me. You should accomplish something first. And then I might acknowledge that accomplishment, and then together we might get a little confident, but it has to be in that order. You can't just, you don't give confidence in a red bow and tie it up and say, Merry Christmas. Here's confidence as a present. You know, you got to earn it, and someone's got to do it first. And meeting the requirements is not, that shouldn't, you know, put you in the top 1% of society. So that was it, basically my soapbox.
No, I think I've kind of mentioned this in the past. Maybe it doesn't happen as much in women's college basketball. Probably will with the, as the professional leagues continue to evolve. But a lot of guys or a lot of players, athletes will leave their sport early, whether it's baseball, football, or basketball. And I always say, okay, is that the end of your journey? I mean, that's getting to the. Everybody thinks you're going to get to the pros, but if you're going to leave early, be great at something. Be all ACC, be all American, set a record at the school. If your goal is to be drafted, okay, but I get that. But do something great and then see where you are.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, the feedback from the adults, that's our fault. You know, it's our our task. It's our challenge. That, you know, we have to tell somebody, you're not there yet. And then that person has to listen. So there's a big gap between where people are and where they need to be. And, you know, to fill that gap, you have to have a growth mentality, and you have to attack it, and you have to say, listen now, you know, eventually you might be a top 10 WNBA pick, or you might be worth a first-round NFL pick. You might. But my job, the gift of confidence, that's a fail. That's not a gift. That's a bad present. If I tell you go ahead, you're going to make it, and I know you can't. But the adults, we fail them too. Sometimes we just got to be a little bit more honest. We got to be a little bit more authentic, and we got to, you know, be confident and courageous in explaining what the gap is, what the deficiencies are, and then just if they don't respond, then fine. But you know, we got to do it. It's our job.
I want to get your thought on this. I was watching an NFL pregame show yesterday. And they were discussing the upcoming game, and one of the guys on the panel said, "So and so has been stubborn." And I yelled back, "No, that's not right. It's conviction. You got it mixed up." And I think sometimes it does get mixed up. You coach with conviction.
Yes, but you know what? All of my All-Americans, all of them I've coached, they've all been stubborn. I don't find stubborn disrespectful. It is a philosophy of mine in coaching. When a player comes back at you, when a player asks questions, when a player challenges you, some coaches don't like that. I absolutely love it. It's my best teaching moment. You're going to come at me, I better have an answer, and I'll come right back at you. But that doesn't. I want that conversation, because what's happening now is, you know, the first conversations, you know, that needs to be the end of the story. You have a coach having a first conversation with a player. Then there's a second conversation between a player and a teammate, or a player and a family member, whatever, whatever. You know what? We're going to have first conversations in our program. And, you know, if the first conversation isn't over, then we stay in it. We don't go outside of the program and have second and third conversations. So I think it's really important. But at a certain point as a leader, you have to be willing to have that first conversation and stay in it. Don't end it. Say, well, I said so. You know, that's not the end of a first conversation. If you really want an authentic first conversation, stay in the conversation. Listen.
You have Vanderbilt and Alabama coming up. What's the challenge there?
Well, I mean, two SEC teams. You know, we got to carry the banner of the ACC. We you know, back-to-back games. That's going to be something really special for us. We're going up to Orlando tomorrow. I'm trying to get up there a little bit early and get our legs underneath us. Vanderbilt is a completely different team than Alabama. Vanderbilt's very, very good, well coached. Stephanie White's their coach. She won the, you know, she coached Shanice Johnson with the Indiana Fever. Just a fantastic coach, and really special talent. And that's going to be an issue for us. And then Alabama's going to present a little bit more athleticism and probably a little bit more aggression. So it's two different preps and two different scouts, but. That, you know, it'll be like an ACC tournament if you pull, you know, a Boston College in the first round, and then you end up, if you win that, you play Florida State the next day. That's what we're going into this weekend, something like that.
Yeah, we're about 2 weeks from conference play, so this has got to be a great barometer for you, right? Playing these two games.
Yeah, we really know what we're made of, and I think the biggest thing is how mature we can be. You know, I think. At times, we're a very sophisticated team. We do some really high-level stuff. They, you know, we have a you know, I coach in sentences, and we've had some really nice run-on sentences. You know, if this happens, then that happens, then this happens, and then you check down to that. I mean, we've had some really great moments. But at a certain point, the ball's bouncing on the ground, and I don't care how sophisticated you are, just go get that ball for me. You know, so we're caught in between that sometimes. We're real sophisticated, real high level, you know, really can do some special things. But then the ball's bouncing around, and we're still thinking about, did I make the right decision? And so we've got to get to that point where we're just raw, reactive, aggressive, and then the sophistication comes on top of that.
All right, so this will be this tournament's December 20th and 21st, then off until the 28th for the Miami Holiday Classic. So probably won't see you between now and then. Have a Merry Christmas. What will you be doing during the holidays for the short holiday break that you get?
Exactly. We're bouncing all around. I'm gonna dip home to Chicago. You know, I haven't seen my parents in a bit. You know how important they are to me, and my brothers and sisters are all down there. So we're going to go there, and then we'll come back here around Christmas Eve or Christmas and have some fun in Miami, because, you know, who doesn't want to be in Miami during the holidays? And then we practice on the 26th, so, you know, not a long break.
Not a long break. All right, you're going to get to Chicago, so you'll get a little bit of that Christmas chill. Congratulations on where you are so far. Team played well yesterday. Best of luck against Vanderbilt and Alabama, and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Joe, to you and your family as well.
Thank you very much. That's Hurricanes head coach Katie Meyer joining us here on the Hurricane Hotline. Stay tuned. Larry Bluestein is coming up next with the South Florida High School Football Show. Jeremiah Payton will be on his show, who is committed to the University of Miami. Outstanding wide receiver from Jacksonville. Blue coming up next.
Radio.com.